Your word tells us the earth belongs to you and everything in it. So, Lord, we give back to you that which you've given us. And we pray that, Lord, you would multiply it. We pray that you would use it for the furtherance of the kingdom, for the saving of souls. Lord, we pray also that you would bless now your word as we open it and as we stand in reverence of it. Lord, we pray that the great promises that we'll consider today would be realized in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn together to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? As we look at these verses, the first thing we must be clear about is what they are not saying. We've got to begin with that. These verses are not saying that prayer is a means to obtaining anything and everything we want, as so many people have thought. Remember, we must always interpret Scripture in its context. And it's only in its context that we can find out the true meaning. Sometimes we can find out the true meaning in the immediate context. Sometimes we have to go to the broader context of the entire Word of God to find out what a passage means. In the particular case before us, we have both the immediate and a broader context that show us that Jesus is not giving us carte blanche on all of our whims and wishes, but rather that all the things that are necessary and profitable for a spiritually fruitful life are ours for the asking. Now, as we look at the immediate context, there are a couple of things that make that clear to us. First of all, to whom he was speaking. Jesus was speaking not just to anyone, but he was speaking specifically to his disciples. A disciple is defined in the Scripture as one who has denied himself, taken up the cross, and following Jesus. So it's spoken in that context. It's spoken not to a person who wants to do their own thing or get their own program accomplished, but it's spoken to those who have given up pursuing their own ambitions. It's spoken to those whose lives are taken up with the will of God and wanting to accomplish the will of God. Also, in the immediate context, we find that Jesus does give us some clarification. He says that it will be given to those who ask for good things. Good things. What are good things? Good things are the things that God deems good. So the promise is that God will not withhold any good thing from those who seek him. But he's the one who determines ultimately what the good thing is. Now, in the broader context, looking beyond Matthew 7 into other portions of Scripture, we can see clearly that the Bible doesn't teach that prayer is a means to get our own thing accomplished. And there are times when we're told specifically that prayers will go unanswered. James 4:3 is a good example of that. James said, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasure." So prayer will not be answered if the motive for our request is wrong. And then John in 1 John 5:14, he said this, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So you see, we can expect to have our prayers heard and answered as long as we're praying in God's will. As long as we're requesting those things that are going to profit us spiritually, because that's what God is most interested in. He's most interested in our spiritual lives, our growth, our development, our fruitfulness, and so forth. So, the passage is not teaching us that we can ask for anything and obtain it. The passage is teaching us that as we seek the Lord and desire those things that are in His will, we can be assured that we are going to receive them from Him. This is indeed a glorious promise. It's a tremendous promise. God is promising basically to do everything that needs to be done to bring us to our fullest potential spiritually as His people. Now I want you to turn with me over to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 5, gives us more insight on the passage. And now what we want to do, having seen what it doesn't mean, we want to go on to see just exactly what it does mean. What is Jesus saying to us? What is the promise that is giving? What is the emphasis being placed on? And so beginning in verse 5 of Luke 11, "And Jesus said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The first thing I want you to see in relation to what Jesus is saying, both in Matthew 7 and here in Luke 11, is that persistence is the key in this whole thing. And it's clear in Luke 11 from the parable that precedes the promise. He tells a little story about a persistent neighbor who gets what he wants from his neighbor, not because of his friendship with him, but because of his persistence. So I say to you, ask. Now the verbs ask, seek, and knock, they are in the present tense in the Greek language. And that means that they could be translated, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And that is most certainly what the Lord is emphasizing here. You see, this is a tremendous promise. God is promising to do all that we need to attain to our ultimate capacity spiritually. But the promise is based on the condition of persistence. See, a lot of times we fail to see that there is a condition here. And unfortunately, I think the English translation lends itself to our failure to be able to see it. But that's really what the Lord is saying. He's saying we've got to keep on asking. We've got to keep on seeking. We've got to keep on knocking if we want to receive all that God has for us. In other words, if we just have, you know, a brief and passing desire for the things of the Lord that doesn't work itself out in a real intensity of pursuit, then we can't really expect to experience God in the way that He wants us to experience Him. There's got to be a passion. There's got to be an intensity on our part. There's got to be a relentless pursuit of the things of God. That's really what the Lord is wanting to communicate to us here. I'd like to quote to you from Martin Lloyd-Jones on the subject of persistence. He said, "The importance of this element of persistence cannot be exaggerated. You find it not only in biblical teaching, but also in the lives of all the saints. The most fatal thing in the Christian life is to be content with passing desires. If we really want to be men and women of God, if we really want to know Him and walk with Him and experience those boundless blessings which He has to offer us, we must persist in asking Him for them day by day. Like the Apostle Paul, leaving the things that are behind, we press toward the mark. Not as though I had already attained, says Paul, but I follow after. That is it. This persistence, this constant desire, asking, seeking, and knocking, we must keep at it. It is a fight of faith. See, that's what the Bible teaches. If we're going to experience God in the fullest, we've got to have a relentless pursuit of Him. The reason why many Christians do not have the kind of experience with God that they ought to have or potentially can have is because of their failure to be persistent. We seek the Lord for a brief time, and then because we don't see any immediate result, we just say, oh, well, you know, I give up on that. Or the Lord must not hear me. Or the Lord must not want to take me further. Or the Lord must not have anything to say to me or any issue in my life that He wants to deal with. You know, there are times when we'll go to the Lord and maybe there's something radically the matter in our lives, but we can't quite put a finger on it. We'll say, Lord, show me what the problem is. And, you know, after a day or two of seeking, nothing comes up. So we assume that, oh, everything must be okay. But, you know, there are times when the Lord wants to test our sincerity, to see the genuineness of our desire to have Him speak to us and deal with us and change us. And so He will withhold an immediate response and let us seek after Him. I know there have been times in my life when I've gone to the Lord and I knew something was the matter. I just didn't know exactly what it was, but I was certain there was something the matter. And so I would go to the Lord and I'd be asking Him, Lord, show me, and nothing would come up. And the temptation was to say, oh, everything must be fine. But I knew better than that. I knew something was wrong. And it was after time, after persistence, after continuing to ask the Lord to reveal things to me that finally I did begin to see and was able to then deal with those things. But so often we fail to be persistent. And I agree wholeheartedly with what Lloyd-Jones said here. The most fatal thing in the Christian life is to be content with passing desires. Oh, you know, we have those moments where, oh man, yeah, I really want that. You know, maybe it's when you're at a Bible study. Maybe it's here at a worship service or something, and God just especially touches you. And you know, you say, Lord, I want more of You. I want to experience You in a deeper way. And at that moment, you make some kind of a commitment to really pursue the Lord. But then you leave, and by the middle of the week, you've forgotten all about that. See, that's the passing desire that so easily sweeps over us, and then it is gone. The Lord said concerning the nation of Israel, He said, their faithfulness to Me is like the morning dew. The morning dew, it's here just briefly until the sun comes up, and then it's gone. It evaporates. It dries up. And sometimes that's how we are. We make these great commitments to God and we express these desires, but it's like the morning dew. It's just very brief, very short-lived. And, you know, we make a big commitment and then pretty soon we're no longer pursuing after that. We're following the same things that we were doing before. Here we are just getting started in a new year. And no doubt many have made resolutions concerning the new year. But how many have kept it up even this far? You know, sometimes those resolutions, they get made, but sometimes never even implemented. You know, Lord, I'm going to start that diet tomorrow. Tomorrow, Lord, this is, you know, this is the first of the year. And, you know, this is a holiday, Lord. There's still a lot of pumpkin pie left and, you know, a lot of candy still laying around from Christmas. And I'll finish this off and then tomorrow, the second, we'll get started. And then the second comes around and there's still some, oh, Lord, you know, it'll take me about a week to clean this up. So, you know, I'll get started next week, the seventh. Man, that's a good time to start. Seven's a perfect number, new week. And, you know, we procrastinate and put it off. And then the year goes by and we never even started. You know, or sometimes we start and then we blow it. You know, you can make all of these great resolutions and commitments. And I'll tell you personally, I'm one to talk because I do that all the time. It's like, I am not going to eat that. There's no way. And so my wife makes a pie. And I said, I'm not going to eat it. I don't care. And so she just sits there eating it in front of me. And then I say, you know, I have great willpower. I'm not going to touch that. This actually happened just a little over a week ago. And so she took a spoon and shoved it in my face and smeared it on my mouth. And, you know, I still resisted. I licked it off and said, all right, you know, I can handle that. But I'm not tempted. And I ignored it and didn't do anything about it and didn't bother to eat it. And then, you know, a little later on that day, man, I was so hungry and there was nothing there. And it was real quick. And I'll just take a few bites. And you know what I do? I take the smallest bites you can imagine, but I take 500 of them. So, you know, just these little tiny bites, pretty soon the whole pie is gone. I think I couldn't have eaten that. Those were little slivers I was taking. You know, but man, I'm committed. I'm not going to do that. And, you know, I need to eat right. And boom, so quickly it goes. You know, we have something where God works in our lives or he deals with us and he shows us something. We say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do that. I'm going to follow through. Oh, God, I see what you have for me. And, you know, it's a new year. And Lord, I'm going to be in prayer every day. God, I'm going to be in the Word daily, faithfully. And then, you know, what happens? Something else comes up and we flake off. And our faithfulness is like the morning dew. And as we're like that, we'll never experience all that God has for us. We'll live just a shallow existence as Christians and we'll never enter into the fullness of what God has. God has a tremendous plan and a great purpose for our lives, but in order to get into the thick of it, in order to experience it totally and completely, we have got to be persistent. We've got to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Now, what is it that we're asking for? What is it that we're seeking? What is it that we're wanting to obtain? Well, as I pointed out a moment ago, we're talking about spiritual things here. As you look at Matthew 7:11, Jesus said, God will give good things to those who ask him. As you look at Luke 11:13, Jesus said, the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And so, just to kind of give a general understanding, what God is promising to give to those who persistently ask, seek, and knock are the things of the Spirit. See, this is what God has for us. Paul said that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Do you know that? Do you experience that? Do you have every spiritual blessing actively working in your life? For many Christians, we wonder, do we have any? Or, you know, maybe you can sense, well, one or two. Yeah, I got this going and that going. But Paul said God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Why don't we experience it? Because of a lack of persistence. God is promising to give to us the things of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. He's promised to give us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But quite often we're content to let somebody else experience those things. Quite often we're content to say, well, you know, this pastor or that evangelist or this author, you know, they were the ones that really had that great experience with God. And that's probably not a possibility for me. But it's as much a possibility for you as it is for anyone else, because God is no respecter of persons. And God wants to work fully and completely in each one of our lives, regardless of who we are. You see, God has a full plan and purpose for each of our lives, and this is part of it, to be filled with the Spirit, to experience in all the fullness, the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Listen to Paul's statement in Galatians 5:22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are those things yours, abounding in your life consistently? If not, why not? God wants them to be there. This is what he plans for you. This is part of what he's given to us, the fruit of the Spirit. But so often we have one, maybe two of these things obviously there. And yet even though they're obviously there, it's sporadic. Sometimes I'm loving. Sometimes I feel the love of God. Sometimes I have joy. Sometimes I have peace. But God desires that we have the fruit of the Spirit manifested in our lives consistently. How do we obtain it? I've got to keep on asking. I've got to keep on seeking. I've got to keep on knocking. In other words, I cannot be content with anything less. As long as I sense that there's something missing, I've got to be relentlessly pursuing after it. Lord, I want that. And doing the things that will contribute to it. Praying and asking God, meditating on His Word and getting to know Him through His Word, stepping out and trying to discover His will. It's just an ongoing thing. You see, the Christian is like an athlete. You have to be consistent in order to maintain your conditioning. And once you slack off, you begin to lose your conditioning. So it is with us as Christians. There's never a time to rest. There's never a time to slack off. There's never a time to, you know, go on vacation, so to speak, spiritually. We've always got to be pressing ahead. We've got to be moving on. That's when we're going to be obtaining these things. The fruit of the Spirit, God has that for you, the power of the Spirit. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me to the end of the earth. Did you know God wants you to be His witness? He hasn't reserved that for just a select few, some evangelist here, some real extroverted person over there. God wants every one of us to be His witnesses. He wants every one of us to be testifying to the reality of His kingdom and the gospel of His Son. How can we be experiencing that? We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to have the power of the Spirit. How can I have the power of the Spirit? By not being content with anything less. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, use me. And giving Him no rest until these things are being accomplished in our lives. You can mark spiritual growth. You can see it. You can experience it. You can feel it. Not always. Sometimes things are happening that you don't see. But in the bigger picture and as time goes on, you can definitely see when advances taking place. So we need to be praying that God will move us ahead in these things. Lord, use me to share the gospel. Use me to tell other people about Jesus. Use me to lead someone to the Lord. Use me to help a new Christian get established in the faith. You see, the power of the Spirit is available to all of us to that end. And then the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are the things that Jesus is talking about. The fruit of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Did you know God has an abundance of gifts that He has planned to give? And God has gifts for each one of us individually. Every one of us have gifts that have been given to us by God. We have gifts that we're born with, but when we're born again, we have a whole new set of gifts that God gives to us. In some cases, He gives us one predominant gift. In other cases, He gives us multiplicity of gifts. But the point is this, God has the gifts of the Spirit for you. Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 12. 7 through 10. He said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So notice, the manifestation of the Spirit, the revealing of the Spirit, the working of the Spirit is given, the gift. It's given to who? It's given to each one. Do you know what gifts God has given to you? Or have you received the gifts that God has for you? Maybe you say, well, I don't even know if I have any gifts. Well, maybe you haven't received them yet because you've never taken the time to really ask the Lord for them. Maybe you've become a Christian and you've added Jesus to your life, but in some sense, just as an addition to everything else. Oh, hey, I got the Lord now and man, I'm cruising. Everything's great. And you're just going about your thing and now you got the Lord with you. Well, the Lord wants to be more than with you. He wants to be your everything and He wants to take your life and He wants to use your life for His glory. He has gifts for you, but you've got to begin to seek Him. You've got to become persistent in asking Him, in knocking and calling upon Him. And then those gifts will be manifested in your life. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But what is the purpose of the gift? For the profit of all, so the body of Christ can be built up. You see, you as an individual person, you have a part to play in the expansion of the kingdom of God and the edifying of the body of Christ. And the only way you're going to meet that place that God has foreordained for you is if you relentlessly pursue Him and what He has for you. We have to realize that we have a destiny spiritually. We have to realize that there's an ultimate plan and purpose, and it's a tremendous privilege to even be part of it. I mean, we're talking about God. We're talking about the maker of all things. We're talking about the Son of God who came to earth and died on a cross and rose again and is coming back to the world to set up His kingdom. And that God has called us to Himself, and He said, I've got a purpose for your life. I've got a plan for your life. But you see, some Christians living as though they had no purpose whatsoever, just sitting endlessly in front of the TV, just wasting precious time, filling their minds with nonsense and meaningless things. And they're living as though there was no plan. There is no purpose. There's nothing beyond just my, you know, day-to-day existence. Oh, there's so much beyond that. There's a great plan. There's a great purpose. God is working it out in the world, and He's working it out in individual lives. But you see, we've got to plug in. We've got to be persistent. We've got to seek the Lord in order to discover what He has for us. Let me tell you this. If you're a Christian and you're bored, it's because you're not pursuing God. Because the minute you begin to pursue the Lord with all your heart, you're going to find that your life is going to become the most exciting thing around. Boy, serving the Lord is thrilling. It's just one new thrill after another. One new exciting experience after another. One new challenge after another. But we've got to realize that. You know, some people, unfortunately, don't realize it until it's too late. I wonder how many pages we could fill of regret being spoken from the lips of Christian people on their deathbed about the things they didn't do for the Lord and for His kingdom. We could fill volumes, no doubt. Volumes, fill libraries full of regrets. People who just didn't see the big picture. People who didn't realize they had an eternal destiny. People who were just content to, oh, well, I'm saved and that's all that really matters. But then when they're about to pass into eternity, oh, it matters at that moment. Oh, Lord, just give me one more year. Oh, God, just one more month. Just, oh, Lord, let me tell people. Let me do something. Just sensing they're going into eternity with no reward awaiting them because they never did anything for the Lord here. I'm just too busy just cruising, you know, just hanging out. And many, many Christian people die with regrets. But you know what? We don't have to. None of us have to. Paul certainly didn't. When he was about to be executed for his faith, he didn't say, oh, Lord, just give me another year to do a little more. No, he didn't say that at all. He said, the time of my departure has arrived. He said, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. He was ready to go. He knew that he had accomplished what God gave him to do. And you know what? When you come to the threshold of eternity, that's the very thing that you will want to know. I accomplished what God sent me to do. I accomplished what God redeemed me to accomplish. I lived out the purpose that God had ordained for me. Is that how you're living? Don't wait to be stricken with a terminal illness to decide to do that. Don't wait to be knocked down with some chronic disease before you get motivated. Don't wait to have some crisis strike in your life to shake you up, to get you to start thinking of things eternal. Hey, we've got the Word of God. We've got the promises of God. We've got the plan of God. Go for it right now. Do it right now. That's what the Lord is emphasizing. He's emphasizing a relentless pursuit of Himself and His plan and purpose in our lives. Now, the object of our relentless pursuit is not to be the things that we just mentioned. They are the byproduct of a relationship with the Lord Himself. And you see, I point that out because it's possible to get caught up in trying to get the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, but you forget the one that they're connected to. There are many people that are seeking to have the gifts of the Spirit. Man, I want to have the gift of healing. And they go out pursuing the gift of healing. And sometimes they get off into occultic things. They want to heal so desperately, they go seeking it wherever they may find it. But you see, you can't have the gift of healing apart from the healer Himself, the Lord. So we don't go seek that gift per se. We seek the Lord and we trust His wisdom to impart to us the gifts that He has for us. But we're to be seeking the Lord. Look at Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out to him day and night, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? See what Jesus is doing? He's contrasting this unjust judge with the righteous God. And he says even an unjust judge can be driven to assist by persistence. How much more God, who is good? And notice what he says about those who seek the Lord, his own elect who cry out to him day and night. Crying out to him day and night. That's the very thing that Jesus is saying. Ask, keep on asking, seek, keep on seeking, knock, keep on knocking. Lord, I'm not going to be content until I have you in all your fullness in my life. Is that where we are? That's where we should be. That's where we've got to be. That's the only place that we can be if we're going to experience the fullness of God, if we're going to see true change in our lives, if we're going to experience God in the way that we potentially can, if we're going to see people impacted by our lives, and ultimately if we're going to see our world changed at all, this is the only way it's going to be done. It's the only way it's going to be done. You know, in some ways, it's so sad as you look at the Lord's army, Christians. It seems that the Lord's army is made up of some of the most uncommitted soldiers that you could ever find. And you look at some of the various causes that are going on worldwide and the adherence to the causes, the disciples of Marx or, you know, other philosophies or whatever, and you find that they are relentless. They're zealous. They're persistent. They're dedicated. They're giving of themselves entirely. Think of the people that go up to the Capitol and lobby. You know, they're lobbying all the time. What are they doing? They're praying to their gods. They're interceding. They're not giving them any rest. Man, we got to have this passed. We got to get this through. You got to get this legislation. And they're relentlessly going for it. And they're spending their resources. They're doing everything to get it accomplished. And here we are, Christians. You know, we're thinking about the kingdom of God. And are we lobbying the Lord? No, we're not doing that. We're not praying. We're not relentlessly pursuing Him, asking God, your will be done. Pour out your Spirit. No, we're just, hey, I'm saved. Everything's okay. Let's just cruise. That's why the church is in such sad shape. And that's why the world is in the condition it's in. Because the church doesn't have an impact. Because the soldiers in this army are uncommitted. Remember what Paul said to Timothy. No man that goes to warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he may please the one who called him to be a soldier. Is that our attitude? Man, I can't get entangled in the affairs of this life. Because I'm serving the Lord. Is that the attitude we have? That's the attitude we need to have. That's the attitude that Jesus is calling to have. And notice the question he asks here in the latter part of verse 8. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will there be anyone really crying out to Him? Will there be anyone seeking Him in this generation? Are we really going to seek the Lord, or are we going to be content to just be Christians and know we're going to heaven and let somebody else deal with the issues of the salvation of others, revival and things like that? You see, that's what the Lord is calling us to. Again, He's calling us to a relentless pursuit of Himself. He's calling us to be persistent. And in closing, we need to know this. Going back to Matthew 7, these promises, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. These promises are to the persistent. The promise of finding, the promise of receiving. It opened to is not to those who will casually go about it, but those promises are to the persistent. You got to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Just having this insatiable desire for the Lord is really what it comes down to. You know how there's certain things that you can just develop an insatiable appetite for? In other words, your appetite can never be fully met. There's always the longing for more. There are certain things in life, you know, certain things that you might like to eat that, you know, I have an insatiable appetite for that. I can eat as much as I can possibly handle and then give it a couple hours and I can go for it again. Oh, I just love it so much. Or something that, you know, we might do. We just can't get enough of. I can't do enough of this. It brings me such, you know, joy, or it thrills me, or whatever. This is the kind of heart that lays hold of God, a heart that has an insatiable appetite for the Lord. I can't get enough of God. I can't get enough of the Lord. That's the person who attains to the fullness of what God has for them. And that's the person who experiences God firsthand. And that's the person who is used by God in a great way. Potentially, that's you and me. It's every one of us. We all have the same potential, and God has the desire for each and every one of us that we attain to the full capacity of His purpose for our lives. But when it's all said and done, guess what? We are the ones who determine how far we go with the Lord. If your experience with God is a shallow one, it's because you have chosen the shallow path. If your experience with God is that He doesn't answer your prayers, He doesn't reveal Himself to you, He doesn't make clear His will, guess what? It's not His problem. It's not His fault. It's yours. You haven't asked properly. You haven't sought diligently. You haven't knocked hard enough. You see, you've been content with lesser things. God help every one of us to not be content with anything less than a relentless pursuit of the Lord, His plans, His purpose, His desire for our lives. That's what it's all about. Let's pray. Lord, we see the potential. We see the standard. We see the goal. And yet so often, Lord, we give up. We don't press toward the mark. We don't follow hard after You. God, forgive us. And Lord, I pray that today every one of us would be inspired, not condemned, but inspired to great things as we realize the great love that You have for us and the great measure You went to redeem us to Yourself. And Lord, may we be fit and dedicated and worthy soldiers of the cross. May we be an army of men and women that are committed to the captain of our salvation, that believe with all of our hearts that His cause is the ultimate cause. And Lord, that give our lives for the advancement of His kingdom. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to relentlessly pursue you. Thank you, Lord, for these glorious promises. The clear promise of receiving, of finding, of having the door opened. We see the condition. Help us to meet it by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.